Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change?
Everyone, I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from adversity and failure to want to live the best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Billion Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the programs and products page and click on Billion Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing episode today? Joining me, I have the one and only Jay Schiffman. Jay, welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you so much for having me. That was a great introduction. It got me hyped up.
That's what I'm talking about, man. That's what the show is all about. So, Jay, it's a pleasure having you on. For the folks who don't know you out there, just tell them who you are and how to get a hold of you, because we're going to go into your story with a little more depth here in just a moment here.
Well, I am Jay Schiffman. I'm a speaker, a storyteller, and a podcast and event host and producer. And you can find me at both jayschiffman.com and chooseyourstruggle.com.
Man, I love it, man. So get out there and follow Jay. He has one of the top podcasts in the country. So we're going to try to get up there with him at some point in time. Jay, appreciate you coming on again. The podcast focuses on bringing amazing people like you on and having you tell us your story about how you overcame, some of your darkest times. So let's start with question number one and tell us about one of your darkest moments. I know your background. Let our audience know a little bit about, some of the challenges you face.
Yeah. So the very, very short version, because you and I could do an entire hour and a half, and I've done that just on the depths of my story. But the very short version is that because of a misdiagnosis, I ended up in my late teens and early 20s struggling with severe misuse and addiction to numerous prescription medications. And at 23, attempting to take my own life twice in 2 days, the second time sending myself into an overdose. And I survived that overdose. Obviously, I'm still here, but then spent the next combined almost 4 months between two different mental institutions where I finally got up the courage to say, this is a really bad path that I'm on, and I am going to go off and do what I think is right, what I think is the most healthy thing for me. And here I am 12 years later, a shining success story for trusting in yourself and following what you know to be right.
And that is amazing, Jay. And I appreciate your honesty and transparency about that. And thank God you are here on the other side to share your story and inspire others today. So I want to go back a little bit. We hear from a distance, people hear from a distance, people who are involved in using drugs and maybe having mental health challenges or what have you, but they don't necessarily know what it's like to be in the footsteps of a person who's facing those obstacles every day. Talk to us about the feelings that go into what it's like to know you're dealing with mental health issues. And you probably didn't know at the time, but, turning to the drugs and some of the other things that you were dealing with. Talk to us about some of the feelings that were kind of prompting you to go on this direction.
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I'll tell you, it's one I don't get asked that often. People want to know the story, but we don't often talk about those feelings. I really appreciate that. And the overarching themes of what I was feeling at the time were a lot of confusion. For me, like I said, it was a misdiagnosis, but I trusted this therapist, I trusted his diagnosis, and yet the prescriptions he was giving me weren't making me better, and quite frankly, I felt were making me worse, but that didn't make sense to me, right? Because, like I said, I trusted this guy, and so I decided that the only answer could be that it was me. I was incurable, and so that hopelessness is what drove me to attempt suicide twice in 2 days. I would say those are the big two, confusion and hopelessness.
And that's powerful, because folks out there need to know that, many people are in those situations where you feel hopeless and powerless, but you can make it out of it as well. So Jay, as you look back, what were some of the coping mechanisms that you turned to kind of get yourself on a pathway to better life?
Well, during the worst days, what's really interesting, and again, this is a much longer part of my story, but the prescriptions that I was given were the ones that were really making me feel horrible. And so I was turning to recreational drugs to make me feel better, which is a story you don't hear that often. We usually hear the opposite around, right? Where you're misusing or addicted to recreational drugs and you're prescribed these other things. And in my case, it was flat out the opposite. But once I actually got into recovery, you know, there's been so many incredible tools that have been at my disposal, but I gotta say really quickly that the most important has been mindfulness. Mm-hmm. I spend so much time every day, so much time every week that practicing mindfulness that there are actually mindfulness techniques built into my calendar. My phone reminds me, hey, it's time to take a break and do this. It's time to take a break and do this other thing. And I prioritize those. Those come first. Doesn't matter if I'm in the middle of a meeting, I will tell the person, hey, man, I gotta wrap up because I gotta go do this. This is so important to me. And I gotta tell people, if I have one tip, you gotta put yourself and your health first. That is the most important thing. And I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't done that.
And what a great coping mechanism. I appreciate you sharing that. That's gonna be a blessing to a lot of folks out there. You know, so Jay, as you were going through this, did you have a mentor or a guide to kind of help you get through this situation? And if so, what was the best advice or best strategies they gave you to kind of help you get on the other side?
Again, a great question. And every step of the way, the answer is yes. I haven't had one single person throughout my life other than I would say that my father has been my number one, person in my corner. But, you know, there were times where he was the most important sort of guiding light. There were other people that came in and out, but you know, we don't fight alone. That's something that a lot of us who do this work are very passionate about helping people understand. We may feel completely alone, but you're never actually alone. There are always people in your corner. And the best moment I would say is from my dad. I was about 5 years in recovery, but I was still terrified to tell people about my experience, right? Because we all know the way people mostly talk about people who struggle with mental health, struggle with their addiction, is it's kind of dehumanizing. And so I was really scared. And I had an opportunity to get up on stage for the first time and tell my story, and I was terrified. And I was saying no, 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 no. And then I went home for dinner, and I'm sitting there talking to my dad. And I said, you know, I've got this opportunity, but I'm scared. And it wasn't even that my dad was like, oh, you have to tell your story. Like, that wasn't his thing. But he looked at me and he said, fear is never a good reason not to do something. It wasn't about my story. It wasn't about the experience itself. It was more that I was letting this fear rule my emotions and keep me from doing a good opportunity. And I said, oh my God, you're right. And I went back to the person the next day and said, I'd love to accept that opportunity. And it changed my life. That was in the fall of 2015. And it set me on this direction that now I do this full time. And I talk about these issues and help other people who are struggling. And if I hadn't listened to my dad and realized that I was holding myself back just because I was scared, I wouldn't be here doing what I'm doing.
Absolutely. What's your dad's name?
Steve.
Steve, shout out to Steve, man. Great.
Shout out to Steve. That's right.
Give him some love on his podcast here as well. So Jay, as you look back on your darkest moment, man, what kept you saying, I got to take another step. I got to try one more time. I got to try one more time. What on your darkest moment, what kept you going?
So my darkest moment is actually one that I think a lot of people would be surprised about because it came 6 months after I attempted suicide twice and overdosed. And for most people on the outside and a lot of people who've lived through that, they're like, that's the worst, right? I mean, you don't get any lower than attempting suicide twice in 2 days. But for me, it actually came 6 months later when I checked myself out of this mental institution and I was like the only person in my life who actually believed this was the right thing to do. You know, most of the people in my family, honestly, rightfully so, were like, that doesn't sound like the right thing to do. You should stay there, you know? So I'm driving cross country to live with my grandmother, the only person who would take me in. I got into a car accident and I'm stuck in this dirty truck stop motel in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And I am just completely alone in the middle of nowhere. It's blizzarding. And I kind of just like collapsed. I said, I am so hopeless again. Here I was 2 days ago feeling very, you know, powered and believing in myself. And here I am completely alone 2 days later. And I laid on that carpet and was just, I gave up. I was sobbing. I was looking to a higher power and nothing was coming. I wasn't getting this kind of hallelujah moment that a lot of us in recovery have that moment. I wasn't getting that. And the thought that finally kept me going was like an hour, hour and a half later, where I finally thought to myself, clearly nobody is coming to save you. You are alone in this. And that's a very scary thought, but it's also a very empowering thought because it means that I get to choose. I get to decide. I can choose to put this thing on my back and make myself better. And that's what I did.
Wow. Kudos to you for that heart-wrenching moment and a place of discovery. And it sounds like it ended up being a pivotal point in your journey as well. So as you look back today, how would you say this whole ordeal kind of shaped you as a person?
Well, you know, I've been asked before, if I could go back and make myself not struggle with addiction, would I? And I mean, of course, the easy answer is yes, I would of course go back and do that. That was awful. But at the same time, you know, it took me going through that to become this dude that I am today, to become this person. I was always empathetic. I think I had parents who taught me that being involved in the community and being a good person were so much more important than how much money you made or what grades we got in school. So I'm very thankful for that. But in terms of the completely selfless work that I do now, which is like putting all this work first, you know, helping end stigma, helping promote honest and fact-based education around mental health, substance misuse and recovery, and drug use and policy, I would not be doing this if I hadn't gone through what I went through, because it gave me a chance to be there, right? I am, you know, there aren't a lot of people who both have lived through addiction and then went and got a degree to help understand this a little bit more. We have so many people, brilliant people that I look up to, who have their degrees and do this work and they're incredible, but they can't tell you what it feels like to go through withdrawals. They can't tell you what it feels like to live through an overdose. I can. And so having that opportunity to reach back to the people and saying, not only do I know the theory behind this, but man, I was right where you are. That in itself is what empowers me every day.
Yes, that's awesome. I love it, Jay. And I'm sure you've been a blessing to a lot of folks out there. You know, speaking of blessing, you know, we're coming off a year where folks out there have lost jobs, lost loved ones, lost possessions, lost hope in many situations, Jay. What piece of advice can you give our listening audience out there, man, who are looking for a brighter day to come, man? What can you tell those folks?
Well, so that's where the idea of my brand, my company, Choose Your Struggle comes from, right? When I, like I said, I was born into just an incredible family. I never had to worry about if I was going to have, you know, a roof over my head or food on the table. And that allowed me to what I call choose my struggle, which meant, what am I going to fight for today? Because it's not these basic building blocks of life. But then when I got, you know, to my lowest points, my struggles with addiction, I didn't get to choose anymore. You know, just avoiding withdrawals, just keeping myself alive was my basic struggle. And when I got back into recovery, it helped me realize that even though we're not able to see it in the moment sometimes, there are always choices we can make. I'm talking tiny little building blocks of our day that we can make, no matter how big or how difficult the struggles we're facing are. You know, when I was at my lowest moment, I couldn't change what I was going through. In that moment, I was completely wrapped up in the fact that I was struggling with addiction. But the little things every day, I could have been taking positive steps to try to get myself in a better direction, and I wasn't. And so I wish somebody had reached back to me that day and said, look, you're struggling with something really terrible. You're stuck in that. But look at all this that you do have power over. Find that power and figure out what you can do for yourself. I had nobody saying that to me. And so that would be my biggest piece of advice, is try to step back and say, all right, all of this is pretty awful. And we're not going to say it's not, right? I mean, we're living through a once in a generational sort of catastrophe that we're all facing. But at the same time, we do have these little individual things that we can all do every single day to take it one day at a time. And eventually you're going to look back and go, man, I'm so thankful I started that process.
Man, that's awesome. Great advice, Jay Schiffman out there. Hey, folks out there, hopefully you guys have been inspired by his story. Hey, Jay, if people want to get a hold of you again, you have a book out there as well, right?
My book is coming out the end of the year or early next year. My co-author and I are finishing up right now.
That's what I'm talking about. So if folks want to get a hold of you out there, what's the best way to do that?
Well, you can find everything I do at jayshiffman.com, jayshiffman.com, or chooseyourstruggle.com. Find me on all your favorite social media. Find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'm everywhere, man.
Man, that's awesome. He made it very easy for you folks. No excuses out there. So, Jay, you know, we talked about some tough stuff. You ready to have a little fun now?
Let's do it.
All right. This portion of our show is called our rapid fire purpose questions. I'm going to ask you some questions about purpose. I want you to give me and the audience your most concise answer. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's get it. Here we go. Jay, tell us what gives your life meaning.
Oh, easy. My incredible wife, Lauren, and our dog, Nell, we have a great life together.
I love it. I love it. Shout out to those two. All right. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
I want to end stigma and promote honest and fact-based education around mental health, substance misuse and recovery, and drug use and policy.
I love it. I love it. What one word best describes you?
Ooh, passionate.
All right. I can see that. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Baseball. I was a baseball player.
Okay. What do you wish you had more time to do?
Oh, man. I would say, what a great question. I would say to help other people. I mean, it's what I do every single day, but there's never enough time, right?
Absolutely. What does your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
Oh, I think if I was honest, it wouldn't be playing baseball, but I probably would tell you that I would be a baseball player.
Sure. I like that. Who inspires you the most?
I'll give a shout out to one of my biggest heroes. His name is Dr. Carl Hart. He is a Columbia. He works at Columbia, and he is changing the game when it comes to how we think about and research drug use and addiction.
I love it. Shout out to him. What's something about yourself we might be surprised to learn about you?
I'm constantly trying new hobbies. So last year I tried to teach myself to juggle and got basic juggling down. This year, my biggest, the one I'm focusing on is trying to teach myself ukulele.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Jack of all trades. All right. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Oh, man. Probably get back to traveling. My wife and I are big travel people. We kind of shut that down, obviously, because of what's going on in the world. But we've got so many places we want to go. And I would say get back to taking a big, fun trip would be on my bucket list for next year.
Awesome. What's something about yourself? What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Oh, what I do. I mean, I wake up in this work. I don't make a lot of money off it. I'm sure people can understand that, but it is something I'm just so passionate about. And I truly believe as a guy in recovery that this is the purpose. This is the reason I have this opportunity. You know, I lived through something pretty terrible, but if I can every day give back and help others that are struggling, then it makes it all worth it.
Absolutely. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
If we end up having kids and grandkids, I want them to know that I worked my tail off to help those that are struggling, and I made a difference in the world around those issues.
Awesome. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
That's pretty easy. I'm a huge fan of Nightcrawler. I would love to be, I mean, that travel piece, right? I would love to be able to close my eyes and wake, you know, or appear on in wherever I'm trying to travel to and not have to worry about airlines and packing and all that kind of stuff.
I take that one with you, man. That's a good one.
Yes, sir.
What sparks your creativity?
Taking time, like I said earlier, to focus on me, that mindfulness piece, you know, doing the things I need to do to relieve stress allows that creativity to come through.
Okay, great. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
Oh, that one is super easy. I end the war on drugs. It is still terrorizing. I mean, entire communities of mostly black and brown people for no reason. So let's end the war on drugs.
Amen. I love that. What do you love to do for others?
So this work that I do isn't just my day job. I also am on the board of a local nonprofit that does community outreach and recovery housing services. I spend all my time working with people who are struggling with addiction and mental health. It is so much about my life that it's like where my work ends and my passion for this outside of work begins is blurred. It's the whole thing.
That's awesome. What's been the best gift someone's ever given you?
Oh, wow. What a great question. All right, I'll say this one. Both of my grandfathers passed away in the last couple of years, and my grandfather on my dad's side, my dad's dad, and I were in the same fraternity in college. And when I joined that fraternity, he surprised me by giving me his fraternity pin, and it meant just the world to me.
That is awesome. I love it. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Oh, good question. I would say getting up in front of a crowd. Even when I was a kid, I was always the guy dancing and doing all that kind of stuff. But then I had that moment where I was scared to tell people about this journey. So, you know, I would say getting up in front of a crowd, but being vulnerable in front of a crowd kind of disappeared there for a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good one. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
What moment from my childhood? I was just reminded by my mother not long ago. She gave me this thing she found while clearing out her house, that I won an award for a science fair in I think seventh grade, and I like went to state. I had completely forgotten about this because who remembers those things? But she reminded me, because I wasn't a good student, man, by any means. And here I was like representing the entire city of Cincinnati at the state science fair. And I was like, I don't know how I got here.
That's cool, I love it. What does success look like for you?
Success for me means getting that feedback and building that community. For me, honestly, and I mean this wholeheartedly, it has nothing to do with money. You know, I don't care if I'm making $1 billion or I'm making zero if I'm not helping the people the right way along the way. So for me, it's when I get these feedback from people, right? Emails, messages on social media. You know, I had someone reach out to me over TikTok and be like, yo, can I call you, just because they needed some help. That's the kind of stuff where I can, when I know that I've created enough comfortability in other people that they feel like I am a person who can help them, and then I do help them, I mean, that's what makes it all worth it every single day.
Love it. Great definition there. What are you most grateful for?
My second chance, man. I mean, what are the odds that somebody lives through two suicide attempts and an overdose in a 48-hour span? Not good. And yet, here I am. So
awesome. What's been the biggest lesson you've learned in life?
I would say going back to that, my quote from my dad, which is don't let fear be the reason you're not doing something, right? I think that fear can be helpful if it allows you or forces you to step back and say, all right, why am I feeling this fear? That is super helpful. But then if you let it lock you down for no good reason, we have to move past that.
Okay, love it. And last but not least, Jay, how do you want to be remembered in history?
As a guy who made a real difference around mental health, substance misuse and recovery, and drug use and policy.
Man, that's awesome. Jay, you survived, man. Give yourself a round of applause, brother. Awesome job, man. Awesome job. Jay, I appreciate that. Hey, folks, Jay Schiffman out there, if you've not been inspired by his story, I'm not sure what's going on with you. So you got to follow him. Jay, one more time, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
JayShiffman.com and ChooseYourStruggle.com.
And be sure to reach out to him. Be on the lookout for that book coming out here soon. Now, Jay, last but not least, our podcast focuses on two things: resiliency and purpose. What last words can you leave our audience with around resiliency and purpose?
100%. So this is something I say whenever I speak, whenever I'm interviewed. Reach out. Look, I was at a place where no one should ever be, right? I mean, like you've heard me now say multiple times, I attempted suicide twice in 2 days. That is as low, as hopeless as you can get. But once I survived, people came out of the woodwork to be like, how could you be so dumb? I was there for you. Why didn't you call me? You know? And so I say this every time I speak. I know how you're feeling. I know I've been there, but somebody wants to hear you. Somebody wants you to keep living. Somebody wants to be there for you. And if you truly cannot think of anybody in your life, I'm here. So reach out to me, find me on social media, on my website, because those of us who do this work, we have a saying, and that is, we'd rather spend 2 hours listening to you today than 2 hours at your funeral tomorrow. So please, please reach out.
Man, Jay Schiffman, folks out there, hope you've been inspired by his story. Jay, I really appreciate your time. Hey, folks, subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode, rate it, share with your folks on social media. If you or someone out there who has a story of overcoming, we want to hear from you. Please go to TWatson.com, share your story with us. Everyone else out there, appreciate you guys tuning in.
Yours truly.
God bless.
Peace. Dr. Watson.